blunt of most of the hatred and the evil and heinous, wrongful, unlawful acts, you know, that are perpetrated on harmless people, you know, law-abiding people, you know. Nobody should be killed violently, you know, for selling cigarettes illegally on the street, but yet somebody was killed. Nobody should be killed while jogging, you know, on the street and chased down and killed heinously. I mean, it was the young man was chased down and murdered violently. There's too many heinous acts committed on people, you know, that the church is just looking over and they're not saying anything about. Well, blessed quietness is not blessed. It's not quiet. It's not blessed. We're supposed to speak the word against these things. You need to come against it, you know. What the church need to know now is that these things stems directly from hatred sent into these people that's doing these acts. They have allowed Satan to come into their life, and that's where it's coming from.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The tea.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Verse 11 says, and they what? Overcame him. Overcame him. And they overcame him. He and they were at war together. And they overcame him. Now, let me just share with you. I mean, hopefully by now you recognize who they refers to. They refers to Michael the Archangel, the war angel of God, and the good angels who came against Satan, the serpent, Slewfoot, the devil, Lucifer, the dragon, the accuser of the brethren. They came against him and his angels. Now, that's interesting because it was in God's heaven. But he had his angels in God's heaven. There was division in heaven that God would permit no longer. Now, one of the things I want you to see is that God didn't fight in the battle. Jesus didn't fight the battle. The Holy Spirit didn't fight the battle. Can I tell you why? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are eternal beings. They are the existent ones, self-existent ones, who again created everything else. Those that fought in this war were all created beings. Created beings. All God had to say was, you know, gone, be gone. You're over. The end. And that would have been it. But he allowed his war angel, Archangel Michael, to lead the charge against Lucifer, who was the worship angel, the archangel. Lucifer was one of the four archangels, if you don't know that. Here, let me just break it down to you. Lucifer was the worship angel. Michael was the war angel. Gabriel was the word angel. And Raphael was the water angel. And so whenever God needed anything to happen in any one of those arenas, and depending on how epic it was, if it got to the point where he needed to send the top angel, he'd send one of those angels to head the charge. Now, what was so interesting about Lucifer being the worship angel, he was the one who led the choir, the praise team, the glory to God. He was the one who gave God the glory, but he started getting jealous and wanted some of that praise for himself. And see, one of the reasons why the devil don't like us to praise the Lord, it's because he was kicked out of heaven and lost his job. And every time he hears us praise the Lord, it reminds him of his old job. So he don't praise God no more, and he don't want you to praise God no more. That's why when the devil tries to hush your mouth, you ought to all the more louder give him praise, give him glory. When you don't feel like praising, you ought to rise above that feeling and say, God, you are worthy. I might not feel like it, but when I think of your goodness and what you've done for me, where you brought me from, I've got to praise you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I praise you, God, with everyone. That's just how good you've been. And so the dragon, what's interesting is, he's called both the serpent and the dragon. But here's, I need you to see, in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, he's a serpent. Now this serpent has grown so much now in the last book, Revelation, until he's become a dragon. A dragon. You know how he got so big? Huh? By eating up all the inhabitants who were not on the Lord's side. And so here he is in a war in heaven, and he loses, and one third of the angels fell from heaven when he and they were kicked out. And my brothers and sisters, verse 10 tells us that was a great sound, that was a great voice in heaven, and it was saying salvation and strength is come. And one of the things that I want you to see about this is Satan has been accusing the brethren since the beginning of time. Ever since he made Adam and Eve miss the mark, he's been accusing the brethren ever since. And the word says he does it day and night. He was doing it there in heaven, but he got kicked out. Now he's doing it from hell. He's still petitioning God to see that we are not what God said we are. He's still accusing us before God for every mistake, every mess up, every sin, every slip up, everything we do wrong. Satan is steadily accusing the brethren. Now, one of the things I like about this verse 11, because that's where our focus is here, Micah and all of the angels of heaven show us several things that it's important for us to learn these lessons. Why? Because the first few words says, and they overcame him. They, okay, not God. They overcame him. So I want you to see three things that I need you to focus on. You taking notes, take this down. Verse 11 is going to help us to see the encouragement in this verse, the example in this verse, and the endurance in this verse. I need you to see this now. The encouragement, the example, and the endurance. Now, the encouragement is, if they could overcome him, then we too can overcome him. And I think you need to know, my brothers and sisters, if there ever was a time the body of Christ needed to know how to overcome the enemy, his lies, his deceits, his charges, his accusations, everything that he's saying to you and about you, you need to know how those who already overcame him did it. But again, God didn't do it. They did it through the power of God and what he had provided for them. And that's the same reality that we have today. How did they overcome? Jesus made clear when he was here on earth, be of good cheer. In this world, you should have tribulations. He made that clear in this world. You're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. You're going to have situations. But he wants you to know, he said, listen, I have overcome. And because Jesus overcame the world, that gives us the right, those of us who are in Jesus, to overcome the world. Why? Because we are a part of him, of his body. So if he overcame, then we who are in his body overcame as well. We need to know that we are already overcomers. Somebody said, listen, you are already an overcomer. You might not feel like one. You might not look like one. But the truth of the word is, you are already an overcomer because you are in Christ Jesus and he has already overcome. Now, all you need to do is put your amen with it. And every situation the enemy comes against you with, you need to simply apply this truth so that the enemy will know. He already knows he's a defeated foe. Verse 12 tells us that. He already knows he's a defeated foe. That's why he's trying to do everything he can do to tear down as many folk as he can tear down to take with him, because hell was made for him and his angels and not for you and me. But if Christ is not the head of our lives in hell, will we lift our eyes as well? So, okay, let's see, how did they overcome? All right, here comes the example. We've already been encouraged by the fact that we know we can overcome the devil. Now, you know, somebody right now ought to be shouting about that, because the devil has been beating up on you. The devil has been, you know, putting his foot on top of you when you're supposed to be putting your foot on top of him. The devil has been messing with your mind and putting thoughts in your mind and making you think you're defeated, when the truth of the matter is, he is the defeated one. He's trying to project his feelings on you when you need to know who you are and whose you are, and remind him that you know that he is a defeated one. It's just a matter of time before his time is up. And so listen, he was defeated in heaven, got down here on earth, and Christ defeated him on the cross. And in the end, he's going to be defeated finally when God locks him up in the fiery lake of fire, and he will spend eternity there. But let me just show you again. How did they overcome? Here it is. Here's the example. One, by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I need you to understand here, Revelation is filled with all kinds of shadows, all kinds of pictures, all kinds of images, all kinds of likenesses, etc., etc. And it's important to recognize that these two, the blood and the Lamb, have two significant meanings. But before I get there, I want to just back up a little bit and tell you about the fact that this book of Revelation, that John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And there on the Isle of Patmos, on the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit. And these revelations of Jesus Christ came to him. And one of the things that you're going to note, Revelations could be aptly called the Book of Sevens. The Book of Sevens. There are over 49 groupings of sevens, not to mention the ones, and those were explicit. And then there were the implicit ones. And I'll give you an example of the explicit seven. The Bible talks about seven angels, seven candlesticks, talks about seven churches, talks about seven crowns, seven eyes, seven heads, seven mountains, seven seals, seven well, got a whole lot of sevens. That was just seven of them, but there were 49 different sevens in the word, just to name a few. Now, those were the explicit sevens, because all of them were clear about what those seven were when you read the text. But then there were the implicit ones, where, for example, Jesus talks about coming quickly, coming quickly. In Revelation 2 and 5, he says, I come quickly. Revelation 2 and 16, he says, I come quickly. Revelation 3 and 11, he says, I come quickly. Revelations 11 and 14, he comes quickly. Revelation 22 and 7, he comes quickly. Revelation 22 and 12, he comes quickly. Revelation 22 and 20, he comes quickly. Seven times talking about different things, but it's all coming quickly. Seven different times. There are a whole lot of sevens in the book of Revelation. And it's important to recognize it's a mysterious book. It's a book that many folk cannot understand because you have to have the Spirit of God to interpret it for you. You have to be where God is to have an understanding of those things. There are many folk who have issues with the book of Revelation, and some of them are scared because of the imagery of Revelation, just like the dragon, for example. Not only has he grown from a serpent to a dragon, but he has seven heads with seven crowns on his head, seven horns. I mean, you've got to see, they got some ugly pictures in Revelation. Ugly imagery of things that happens in Revelation. It's the end time, but you also got to know that it's prophetic, it's preview, because it's prophecy, but also it's history, it's review. And so in Revelation, there is the prophecy, a preview of what's going to happen, but then it's also history. It's a review of what has already happened, just like what we just got through reading in heaven. That has already happened. Yeah. Satan was kicked out of heaven. All He's right. no longer there. Right. He's in the earth realm now. He's trying to mess over the saints of God now. So that's why it's so important for us to see what the angels did in heaven to kick him out. We need to be able to do the same thing to kick him out of our lives, out of our finances, out of our family, out of our situation, out of our bodies, out of everything that concerns us. He must go.
Hallelujah. Come on.
But we must all be in to win. Now, let's go again. Example. By the blood of the Lamb. The blood here represents the cross. The cross. Because it was on the cross that Jesus paid the price with his precious blood. It was that blood that redeemed us, paid the penalty of our sin. It was the blood with its power that gave to us the ability to be covered by Jesus Christ regardless of the sins that we had committed. Once we accepted Christ, repented of our sins, acknowledged that we were sinners, and now wanted him to live in our hearts as our Savior, he creates us as a new being. Any man being Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we need to know that the blood does for us what nothing else can do. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Because it is the blood and only the blood that God sees and not our sins. Now, the lamb, it's interesting because the lamb represents the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. the lambs were sacrificed and their blood was taken to represent the atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. But here, it's Jesus Christ's blood. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. The beginning of Revelation tells us that was slain from the foundation of the world. But the blood represents the cross, and the Lamb represents the substitutionary death of Jesus, which means he got on that cross not for himself, but he got on that cross for you and for me. And he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So since we couldn't do it for ourselves, he came down through 42 generations and he took on human flesh, walked this earth 30 years and began his ministry. And for the next 3.5 years, he did everything necessary by way of his ministry, by way of his miracles, in order to fulfill his mission. And his mission was to die that men might come to him and be made free. Now, having known that, we know that we deserve death, we deserved hell, we deserved the penalties, we deserved all of the things that were coming to us, but Jesus stepped in, moved us to the side, and took our place.
Hallelujah.
And he shed his perfect, pure blood to pay the penalty for every sin mankind, especially those who accepted him, would ever commit, past, present, and future. So now, it takes the blood of the Lamb, the blood and the substitutionary death of Christ. They go together. They go together. Because what the devil sees when you talk about the blood, he talks about, or he thinks about, how he was defeated when he thought he defeated Christ at Calvary. Christ put him to an open shame. The Lamb, since the foundation of the world, had been slain so that he could take our places even before we were ever, ever to be manifested in this world. He came, he died. Even before the world was made. So now we move on to the next example. By the word of our testimony. Yes. By the word of our testimony. Now let me help you understand this. The word of our testimony is so much more than what it appears to be here. You remember in the old church when we used to have testified? And the old saints would get up and sing a song and either pray a prayer or and give their testimonies and say, Pastor, you know, I stand before you in the church to tell you my determination. My determination. I wish I had some old saints who remember that. It's for heaven and it's immortal glory.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@ at greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard.